thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Will T, Ray Jeezy, and myself, Wole, also part of Sports Journey at sportsjourney.com. You can check out, you can get all your DMV sports content from the website, from the Sports Journey website, which is, again, sportsjourney.com. What's going on, fellas?
Nothing much, man. How are you?
I'm good, man. Ray Jeezy, what's good, bro?
you know, all is well over here. You guys, y'all got to switch it up a bit. It's like nothing much. How you doing, Wally? Well,
I'm good, man. I'm blessed to be here, man. That's it. Is that better?
Yeah,
that
I mean, better yeah, for you? Dang, Ray, shoot. We can't get the pleasantries out the way? Dang.
I just don't want you guys to be cliche. Y'all so much better than that, man. You're way more authentic than I'm right. Good, man. What about you? Nothing much.
Hey, okay, listen, real talk.
You guys are dope.
Okay, real. I know. You know what? Real talk, though.
Because you're my friend.
Go ahead, shut up. I call on the TV, bro, and I'm seeing that Tiger Woods got in another accident. And I'm like,
yeah, terrible.
It's terrible.
Blessed.
But is it too early to say, like, you know, is it messed up for me to think, like, yo, he got caught up again? That's what I thought at first.
Well, let's not jump to conclusions. No one knows exactly what happened. Let's just, you know, send them some positive energy, prayers up.
Definitely.
Hoping for a speedy, full recovery for Tiger Woods. We don't know the circumstances surrounding the crash.
Yeah.
So let's stay positive until, you know, anything comes out, and then we all know that it would be a shit show once the details come out, to be honest.
Forget golf. It's all about his family. He's bringing his son along in the golf world and in the sport, and you just hope that he's going to be all right. I don't care if he ever plays golf again, but is he going to recover and recover fully physically to where he's able to live a active lifestyle going forward with his family? That's the most important thing. I've been in a serious car accident. I know how significant those leg injuries can be and how arduous the recovery is. And it's no joke. And I don't care if he was on painkillers because of his back surgery. There's all these rumors floating out there. It doesn't matter at this point. It's just hopefully he can recover as a person and he can get to a happy place regardless of whether it's involving golf or not.
But what did you think of when you first heard the news, though? You know what I'm saying? Like, what came through your mind? I mean, you could be keeping 100.
My first, I'm going to just be honest with you. My first thought was, I hope that he's okay. All
right, cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you guys are real nice.
That was my.
Awesome.
No, I'm just being honest with you, man.
So
I was hoping he was okay, but go ahead. I'm sorry.
Man, my initial thought was, I hope he's okay. And two, because I had previously just watched that HBO two-part special on his life, I was like, damn, you know, I hope he's okay. And, you know, and I hope that, you know, this isn't anything that, you know, I don't know. My initial thought was, I just hope he's okay.
You know, TMZ is the GOAT at reporting this craziness, even though I'm not the biggest fan of TMZ. Mm-hmm. However, the good thing for me was when I first heard about it, the sheriff's statement was already out there. It was already in the public saying that there's some leg injuries. I believe that statement was from Tiger's agent saying there's just some leg injuries. He's in surgery. I'm like, okay, his life isn't in danger, because 2021 obviously is a new start for many, and a hope that things will get better. And when a lot of folks saw this happen and occur, they were like, nah, man, not again. You know, because remember last year, of course, Kobe in California had his unfortunate incident. So to hear that he was possibly or probably going to make it was, you know, a relief. And again, it's all about the recovery at this point.
So well, you saw the documentary on HBO. Was it good? I haven't seen it yet.
It's amazing. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, I know it's cliche to say, you know, when you're in the moment, something was amazing, or that it was better than, you know, I think two of the other sports documentaries that came out over the last 5 years, which was, that I thought were great, Last Dance and the OJ the OJ special that the ESPN did. But this, just because the amount of details and information that was compacted within these two, I felt it was amazing. And I also think that there were other things that they could have touched on and gave a lot more in-depth perspective on Tiger Woods. But what they did present, it totally gave you a better understanding of who, how he became the man he is today. Mm. And those influences and those pivotal moments in his life.
Is it still like on demand? Is it, it's still around?
Yeah, it's on, I don't mean to plug any.
It's all good, man. I'm stalling time anyway. But, go ahead.
Yeah, but yeah, it's on HBO Max.
It's on HBO Max.
Oh, is that what's happening here? We're stalling time? Is that what we're doing?
It seems like it. I have to.
Oh, okay.
Because only three of us on the line right now. Anyway, subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes. Tune in at iHeartRadio and Google Podcasts. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Also, tweet us at Urban Sports Scene and hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Also, join our Urban Sports Scene Facebook group. Search Urban Sports Scene, sports bloggers, sports podcasters, and sports debates. But yeah, Ray, just on a little time. I'm trying to give our guests some time to get on the show because he seems so eager to be on initially. So trying to give him some time. Some time, bro. Some. Hey, Will T.
Let's get to our traditional pregame.
All right, here's what we have on tap. We'll debate what's the best route for the Washington football team's solution to their quarterback issue, Emmy Award sports personality and Holder Sports own Lou Holder will join us to discuss this and much more. At 8:20, we'll debate whether Bradley Beal is the best two guard in the NBA. At 8:35, we'll talk about the Philadelphia Eagles trading away Carson Wentz to the Indianapolis Colts. Finally, we'll debate whether wide receiver Sterling Sharp should be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. But right now, we're still waiting on Lou. But we can talk about it amongst each other.
Can I present a topic?
Sure, present another topic.
Since we're stalling time.
Sounds good to me, bro.
Did you guys see today that J.J. Watt is really interested in the Indianapolis Colts? What do you guys think that would do for that franchise and that team if J.J. Watt would have signed with the Colts? Considering they just signed. Right. Mm-hmm. It's a good look, I think.
Will, you want to tackle
that first? My real thoughts? I think that they will have two of the, I don't want to say problematic players on both sides of the ball. And problematic probably isn't the best word, but two guys that are extremely overhyped. Ooh. And haven't necessarily produced the results on the field in the past few years.
And J.J. Watt and Carson Wentz.
And yep. J.J. Watt and Carson Wentz. But ultimately, I think he, you know, if you could add J.J. Watt to that defense with DeForest Buckner and Leonard at the linebacker position, it definitely improves that defense.
Yeah, I think.
But I think.
Go, Will. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I agree with. I agree that. J.J. Watt was living off his name for a minute. I do agree with that. I do, but to your point about the Colts defense, I think you add 70% of J.J. Watt to that defense, and it makes that defense better because now it's a better rotation on that front. He's gonna be fresh. He's gonna be fresher, so he'll probably be a better football player because of it. Now on the flip side, it's going to be interesting with Carson Wentz, and we'll probably talk about that later, but it'll be interesting with the Carson Wentz situation because, you know, people kind of, you know, get on Phillip Rivers, but if you look at his stats, he was effective last season for him. So the whole, if you really want to break down those two individuals, it's more like Phillip Rivers and Carson Wentz from last season. You would say that Phillip Rivers probably outplayed Carson Wentz last year. So, the question is, will Carson Wentz be better than Phillip Rivers?
Well, I like you said, it's a discussion to come down the line on this show. But what I want to ask of you guys and get your opinion on is, do you think there's an added motivation to stay in the division for J.J. Watt? He seems like he doesn't harbor any ill will toward the Houston Texans, but he is trying to go to the Colts what you got to see twice a year. So I'm thinking he's planning this out. He's going to a team that is probably, with him at it, going to be better. And we know what the Texans, that situation is going on right now. We're thinking that they're going to have another down year next season. Mm-hmm. Will Fuller coming off suspension. Deshaun Watson doesn't want to be there. You hired a coach that's unproven, even though, of course, he's an African-American hire. But still, I think J.J. Watt knows exactly what he's doing. I think he's plotting to get some payback on the Texans. Y'all agree?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I totally agree with you.
Definitely. But, Ray, I believe our guest is here. Do you want to introduce him?
Sure. As you know, it's always a blessing to share this platform with talented individuals. I want to stress always, it's always a blessing to share this platform with talented individuals. And today I have the pleasure of introducing someone whom I consider a pioneer of broadcasting and journalism here in the D.C. metropolitan area and beyond. His extensive resume as a sports anchor, reporter, and talk show host and contributor includes a rich work history with many notable television and radio venues that includes NBC, ABC, CBS, Fox, Comcast Sportsnet, Mid-Atlantic Sports Network, CW Television Network, CBS Radio, and ESPN Radio. To name just a few of his many accomplishments, our guest has interviewed a number of prominent names such as Serena and Venus Williams, Iron Mike Tyson, Tiger Woods, as well as the late John Thompson Jr. and Kobe Bryant. In addition to these great achievements, perhaps came his most notable accolade in 2003 when this individual was awarded an Emmy for Outstanding Sports Reporting. Our guest is affiliated with many esteemed organizations, including National Association of Black Sports Professionals, National Association of Black Journalists, aka NABJ, and Washington Sports Business Professionals. He is an entrepreneur, educator, public speaker, husband, and father. Welcome to the urban sports scene, Mr. Lou Holder. What's happening, man?
Hey, guys. How are y'all doing, man?
Doing good, man.
Awesome.
doing great.
Thanks for having me on. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate that. I appreciate it so much. Yeah, how y'all doing today?
We're doing good. Like I said, Ray is the GOAT of introductions. No one can ever dispute that. He's the undisputed king of intros.
I mean that was an Emmy award winning read right there.
That's facts.
hey, speaking into existence, Lou.
So, hey Lou, before we get started with the actual interview, can you tell our listeners about Holder Sports?
Yeah. So basically, when I got into the business and started to see some level of success, I started to market myself and I try to, you know, see how I could give back. So I, you know, started my own sports company. Basically it's a, company where I do, you know, a lot of, giving back and mentoring and teaching. And so, you know, it's basically a catch all of everything that I'm doing, whether it's on air stuff, whether it's teaching. It's all funneled through a business that I started called Holder Sports, which is basically making quality impact on, you know, the young and the old. So I do a lot of nonprofit work, a lot of giving back. And it's just something that I said, you know, what can I do? And I encourage everybody to do it. You know, everybody can just go down and get your own company name and whatever, but there's got to be a place where you can put all of your expertise. Because we all have to be multimedia journalists these days. Mm-hmm. So there got to be a number of places where I can go under the one name, which is called Holder Sports.
So well, Lou, go ahead. Sorry, go ahead. Continue.
No, you mentioned something that's of interest to me, Lou, with sports journalism. I was just curious to get your thoughts. What do you think about the state of sports journalism today? As it is, you know, as it's gone from, you know, the traditional print medium to digital.
Yeah, well, I mean, the difference is that everybody's their own brand now. When I got started in the business, the athletes needed us to tell their story. You know, you had to wait for the 10 o'clock news or the 6 o'clock news or the 11 o'clock news. Athletes don't need journalism that much anymore because they all have their own Instagram accounts. They all have their own Twitter accounts. They all have their own whatever. They don't need the journalism field as much as what they once did. So you have to find different ways to tell stories. You got to do what you guys are doing right now and have your own podcast. You have to have your own, you have to be able to shoot. You got to be able to edit. You got to be able to do multiple things well. And that's how journalism has changed. You know, that phone in our pockets, I mean, everybody, you're your own camera, you're your own recorder, you're your own everything right there. You don't need a studio. You don't need any of that stuff. You can even create your own backdrop to make it look wherever you want to be. So journalism has changed so much. But one thing that has not changed is you got to know how to write and you got to know how to tell stories. And whether you are doing it for a network or doing it for yourself, you have to be able to tell stories. You have to be able to be accurate. You have to be able to, to invoke a feeling in somebody, and you have to be likable. If people don't like you, it doesn't matter if you are on the air doing it for ESPN or if you're doing it like you guys are doing it. You know, it doesn't matter. If people like you, they will follow you. They will follow you. They will like you. They will do whatever. And that hasn't changed with media. That hasn't changed with media.
So Lou, also, Ray mentioned some of the cool, dope people you've gotten to interview and speak to. On our promotional flyer, there are, you know, pictures with you and Young King, Chadwick Boseman, and also Colin Kaepernick. How was those experiences?
I mean, it was. I mean, I've just been blessed to run across so many people, and you know, I just thought that Chadwick Boseman, because he was doing that movie 42 with Jackie Robinson, that's how I was able to get that interview. He was this was before he became T'Challa. This was before he was Thurgood Marshall. This was before he was James Brown. He was, he was doing the circuit, and he was going to all these towns for the premiere of this movie about Jackie Robinson. Now, Jackie Robinson is, you know, one of my heroes, one of many people's heroes. His quote, your life is only as important as the impact that it has on other lives. That's one of my signature quotes in life. So I was so happy to do that interview. And I just treated that interview because he wasn't the Black Panther then. I mean, he was just an actor trying to make it. They're trying to make it big. So I just treated it as another interview. I still would have. But it was just how he affected me as far as how stable he was and how down to earth he was just remarkable. And, you know, the fact he went to Howard was amazing. And then Colin Kaepernick, he's my frat brother. And obviously after one of the games where the San Francisco 49ers were playing the Washington football team, doing the interviews, I made it known where I pledged, and he made it known that where he pledged, and that was that. So, but I really respect him for what he's done. I really respect both of those individuals for what they've done. And Chadwick mostly right now, because we're coming on the month of March, which is the National Colorectal Surgery Awareness Month. And I think that that is a wake-up call for all people, but especially African Americans, to get screened, because this is a I'm a sports person, but I'm also a journalist, and I like to tell stories. And he is a cautionary tale. I mean, he's 40-something years old and passed away from colon cancer because it was recognized too late. And so everybody should go and get their endoscopies and their all these things from their doctor. I don't know how many other wake-up calls that you can have besides that story. So it's a little emotional to know that mm-hmm. such a young man is passed at such an early age. But wow, the work that he left behind, truly amazing, truly amazing. And he went to go see kids, even though he was sick himself, that he went to go visit those kids. And it was just amazing. I mean, this man was dying during half the movies that we saw him in, he was dying of cancer and never said anything to anybody. And he went to all those kids, and because he just wanted them to see that he was this mythical character, and he became a legend in himself just for what he did. So those two people are pretty special to me, alongside all the others that were named. Those two are pretty special for recent events that happened.
Well, we appreciate you sharing. And what you don't know is it was the perfect segue for me, because you mentioned Chadwick Boseman wanting to become great when you met him. And you also mentioned Colin Kaepernick, a quarterback, and a franchise that's trying to be great again, no pun intended, is the Washington football team. And they are in a situation where they are looking for a quarterback. So to begin this discussion on the sort of the sports side of things, what do you think that decision will be? Will it be in the draft? Will it be free agency? And what will it mean for the franchise moving forward? What do you think this franchise is trying to build under a new coaching regime and an owner who's now being forced to make changes?
Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, it's just amazing that as long as I have been covering this team since it's been 2002, they still looking for a quarterback. They are still looking for a quarterback. I mean, it's just amazing. It's a position that they haven't been able to get right. And I don't know if you all have discussed the breaking news today that they're going to keep the Washington football team name for another year. They're not going to do anything until 2022. Mm-hmm. So that's the whole way that this franchise is going, you know, with the black president and the black assistant coach and so many things of color, the coach being a minority, things are changing with this franchise, and it's a good thing. I just want to state that it's a good thing to be reporting on the Washington football team not making stupid mistakes and doing things the right way. And, you know, they're building something here. And I don't want to hear anybody say, well, you know, it was a crappy division or whatever. It don't matter. They played the games and they got in. So so what? You know, the Giants telling them that they mad at the Eagles because whatever. You had so many chances to get in the playoffs yourself. Mm-hmm. And you waiting on another team to get in. So I don't want to hear, you know, all that. This franchise deserves a little bit of respect for getting things right. So this is the last and final frontier, fellas, getting this quarterback thing right. And I'm of the camp that you got to keep swinging at that pinata until you get it right. Mm. So I think that you still need to go in the draft and get somebody out. This Heineke story was unbelievable, but that was such a short period of time. When defenses get a chance to figure you out over a 16-game schedule, that's when you'll see somebody who is a real good quarterback. And we just don't know that about Mr. Heineke yet. I think he has earned a spot to be on this team, but I still think you need to go and start looking and drafting the quarterback of the future. And I still think that you need to draft another person, somebody who is comfortable, that the head coach and the staff is comfortable with, whether it's Marcus Mariota, whether it's Cam Newton, which I wouldn't want, but, he is familiar with the system, or another, you know, serviceable veteran to compete with Heineke, next year. I think, I applaud Alex Smith. Man, comeback play. They should rename the trophy after him. The comeback player of the year trophy should be renamed after Alex Smith, after what happened with his compound fractures and things of that nature. But obviously he can't be the long-term fix for this team. And I don't think Tyler Heineke is the long-term fix as well. I mean, he may be, but you can't put all your eggs in that one basket. And if this franchise is going to do anything that resembles common sense, that they will hit it on both ends, get somebody in the free agency, and also draft a quarterback. also draft a quarterback, because you gotta keep swinging at that pinata, fellas, until you get it right. And there's no need to do foolishness that has been done in the past of trading 8 or 9 draft picks to get one person or doing anything like that. You see what's out there, and if somebody falls in your lap, you look for it. But I definitely think with that first pick, if there's a quarterback available, I think you definitely need to go after the quarterback. That's me, because they haven't been able to get it right. But this is a different head coach who understands certain things. But as we saw, you don't have to be a high draft pick for it to work out. Dwayne Haskins was telling everybody that the league done messed up when they picked him 15th, and he didn't work out. And here comes Tyler Heinicke, who is not drafted 15th and works out. So that means that you can either play the position or you cannot play the position. And you just have to see what you can find in that first and second round. Maybe a third round. You never know who can play the position of quarterback. But you always have to have your eye on the most valuable position in sports. One of the most valuable positions in sports because of how many times they touch the ball offensively.
Lou, this is Will. I want to circle back to something that you mentioned about the team and the positive direction that they're going in as far as the hiring of Jason Hill as the president of the team, and, you know, the other hirings within, you know, within the organization that are minorities. Do you think it's a little too late with regards to, you know, this positive momentum, taking into consideration the things that have come out about this team over the past 6 months?
I do. I think there's a lot. There's some knee-jerk reaction in there, but I can't discount the Doug Williams. I can't discount the Tony Wiley, who was most recently the VP of Human Resource of Public Relations for the Washington Football Team. I can't discount some of the things that I had seen along the way, but I also feel that the culture of this franchise has been so toxic for so long that, you know, I feel that it's right that what they're doing, but I also don't want it to turn into the BET network either. I don't want it to be like now, and I don't want it to be an over exaggeration. And now everybody's got to be a black, a minority, or a female. I don't. That's kind of this fan base is too intelligent to be duped like that. You know what I'm saying? Mm. Like, let it just happen to be that the most qualified person is of color. I mean, look, my goodness, fellas, look at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers staff.
Yeah.
The whole thing, and they won a Super Bowl. So it does work when people of color are given an opportunity, but, you know, it just so happens that when Washington's doing it now, there is that, you know, look, what you talking about, Willis? You know, what are you doing? What you up to? You know, and even, you know, in the barbershops, what the people are saying in the barbershops is, yo, did Dan Snyder have to do this to keep the team? Mm. Or did Dan Snyder have to do this? Whatever is going to force change.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad that it's happening. But you are correct in the assumption that, in a way, some people are saying, you know, just a little bit too late, a little bit too late for me. But, fellas, I'll tell you one thing. Winning will gloss over a lot of team that was winning all those Super Bowls, was doing it in a stadium that was raggedy. It was doing it with, you know, a lot of people that we'd never heard of. But winning with Bobby Bethard and one of the greatest leaders of men of all time, Joe Jackson Gibbs, made this franchise what it is today. And there's no reason why Ron Rivera and the staff that he's creating and the front office can bring back some type of prominence to one of the crown jewels of the NFL. And I'm so glad that people of color are going to be well represented in decision making and well represented in things along the way. So that's what I'm hoping. That's what a lot of people are hoping. Again, this fan base is too intelligent to be duped, and all that stuff on the field. But if your front office is not correct, it don't mean a hill of beans, because that means everything else is going to follow. So the people of color that are now in the position, they don't get a pass. We're expecting greatness out of these people, just like we're expecting greatness out of Kamala Harris and all the other people of color that are in prominent offices. We're expecting to be represented. We're expecting integrity. We're expecting excellence. And we're expecting a good product on and off the field, on and off the field. That's what the fans of this franchise deserve. And that's what the fans of this franchise is hopefully going to get in these years to come.
One more question for you, Lou. You mentioned some very interesting things that I think that fans of this organization and followers of this organization really follow, really hit on with regards to culture and moving this team forward. I did have a follow-up question for you. Yesterday, CBS and a few other outlets reported on Jeff Bezos potentially being interested in buying the team. With everything that's going on with this team regarding the Beth Wilkinson investigation, then we also had the news of the three minority owners coming, taking Dan Snyder to court and trying to force him to sell. You've been around this stuff longer than me. Is it unusual for, you know, a report to come out that there's a potential interest in change of ownership, even during when there's an investigation into the current ownership? Does that seem highly unusual to you, or?
It does in a way. But we've seen so many things happen in this league, and as soon as Jeff Bezos said he was moving part of his operation to this area, I kind of knew that. It's one of the most coveted, networks in all of sports to be an owner of an NFL football team. There's only 32 of them, and it's a cash cow. This television deal, that's why these people like Dan Snyder and Jerry Jones and things of that nature love their franchises, because of the just the status that it holds. So when all that stuff came out about the abuse and things going on, everybody, again, this is a very intelligent fan base, everybody knew that Dan Snyder was in trouble. But at the top of all of the owners is a commissioner who is a fighter for all the owners. And all those owners, none of them look like us. So they protect each other. And so I don't know what's going to happen. If Bezos is going to get a certain amount of the team and Dan Snyder still gets controlling interest, I don't know what's going to happen. But where there's smoke, there's fire, and there's too many reports going on let's be honest, fellas. If FedEx and Coca-Cola and Nike and the sponsors didn't pull out from Washington football team, there would be no name change, and Dan Snyder would just be doing business as usual. Let's not kid ourselves. Mm-hmm. Money talks, and especially at that level, those people love more and more money. And when money is starting to leave, that's when things happen. So, Jeff Bezos, as we know, he got some money. He got a little bit of money.
Just a little bit.
So what rich people like is more money. And if this Jeff Bezos is trying to play ball, even Dan Snyder is going to listen. So I don't know what's going to happen. But the fact that your question is it unusual? I think it is a little unusual. But I also think that we've seen so much with this franchise that I wouldn't put anything past I wouldn't put anything past anybody. I just, as long as whoever owns this team continues the practice of hiring people who are the best at their position mm-hmm. to do the job. One thing that I hate that even exists is the Rooney Rule. I think the Rooney Rule is actually a joke. Mm-hmm. I think it's a because people are not practicing the Rooney Rule. People mm-hmm. are going ahead and hiring, you know, how Eric Bieniemy does not have a job right now when Chip Kelly was able to ruin two franchises with the Philadelphia Eagles mm-hmm. and the San Francisco 49ers. How he is not able to get one position mm-hmm. Is amazing. Now, mm-hmm. I'm under the impression that he's probably waiting for Andy Reid because I do feel that Andy Reid is looking out for Eric Bieniemy, and there's no reason why. I think to me personally that Andy Reid is probably telling Eric Bieniemy, why don't you just hold on? I'm not going to be here forever, and then you can grow with Patrick Mahomes and be the head coach. That's what I'm hoping is happening because I'm a huge fan of Andy Reid and what he's done. But just the fact that Urban Meyer can get a job with the Jacksonville Jaguars and never coached, an assistant coached anywhere, and he can come in there, and one of his first moves is to hire a controversial person from his past, makes me believe that, you know what, the best people are not being hired, and the Rooney Rule is not being followed at all, at all. Mm. I think these people already know who they want, and I still feel that we have a long, long way to go. When Colin Kaepernick is kneeling, and people are saying that they want to be heard. It's not just about the police brutality. It's about equality for these athletes, and they want to see people that look like them in the front office. They want to see people that look like them on the sidelines. That's what America is about. So as long as who owns this Washington football franchise, as long as people of color and minorities are being at the table and being legitimately in hiring pools of candidates, that's all we can ask for as a human race. That's all we can ask for as a human race.
Hey, Lou, as you just were making your statement, the Dukes of Hazzard theme song went through my head. And you know, I might be showing my age when I say that, but all of us on this show, we remember that. Just some good old boys, but I'm going to go away from that for a minute. This is a follow-up question.
As long as you ain't fantasizing about the Daisy Dukes now.
No, nah, man. Nah, you mentioned DC earlier.
Because I'll show you my age too.
nah, they're a little thicker now. Being real, but you know what? I'm married though. We're not gonna go there either. I wanted to ask very quick for you to give a prediction.
Yeah.
What is the Washington situation? What's the end result? Do we see Donald Sterling part two, or is it going to be more like a Mars shot where there's a lot of backlash, but not a whole lot of movement?
That is a real good one. I think there's going to be a lot of backlash, but I think Dan Snyder is still going to have some type of maybe controlling interest or what have you. I can't see. This is just me now from what I've understood. I just can't see Dan Snyder giving up all of this Washington football franchise. It's the relevancy of it. And I've just seen Roger Goodell protecting him in a way that's going to give him some type of not controlling interest or some type of interest in the football team. I just that's just my gut, because if it was to happen, it should have happened already. So I don't know what this investigation is going to show, but Dan Snyder has he's changed the name, he's hired more African Americans than ever. he's hired a female. He's doing everything in this post name change culture that anybody could ask for. Have you even heard from him since all this happened? I haven't seen him on the field, haven't seen him do anything. So
no, the only thing that I've heard of I've heard with regards to Dan Snyder is when he had him and his wife had COVID.
Yeah, that's the only thing I heard too.
Mm-hmm. And I do remember one time he's always gone to games, and there was one time that he didn't go to a game, and it was the first time, and I don't know if it was because of all this, but my goodness, fellas, if Robert Kraft can be caught at a strip club or doing what he did and still own a team, if so many indiscretions by these owners. I just can't see the commissioner who protects all of them. I can't see him booting out totally unless Dan Snyder wants to be out. And I can't see him wanting to be out of the football business because this Washington franchise, I mean, it's worth so much. Dallas is worth so much. That's the reason why. Come on, fellas. That's the reason why these guys are in the game. And it's that TV money. It's all that money. It's just a cash cow. It's just a cash cow. So I think it's going to be more of the heavily slapped on the wrist versus, you know, forcing to be sold out. I do think that Jeff Bezos is going to be involved in some way, shape, or form. I think there might be some co-ownership group stuff going on. Who knows? I just can't see the commissioner telling Dan Snyder, you have to sell the team. Now, again, if he does sell the team, who knows? Jeff Bezos could be a worse owner than Dan Snyder. I don't put my trust in any of these people. I just, you know, show me. And it looks for right now that, there are people in place that, are going to carry out, what a normal football organization looks like, and actually what this organization used to look like. You know, Bobby Bethard and Joe Gibbs had a great relationship, and it produced so many good moments for this franchise that if you get that right, if you get the head coach and the general manager tandem working correctly, ooh, man, people might actually start buying seats tickets to go to games again.
Not the visitors.
We are a long way from that. Chase Young alone is not going to bring people back into that stadium.
Whole Foods, baby. Bezos got Whole Foods. Put it in the stadium. A small Whole Foods. We have all the healthy people showing up. It's a way to make money.
Hey, Lou, man, we appreciate you for being on. Do you have any social media you want to plug, or, you know, Holder Sports content? You know, please do so now.
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously, I'm on Instagram, Lou_Daddy, on Twitter at Holder Sports. And, just get at me. Just get at me. I'm all over the place. I'm teaching. I think giving back, I teach at Prince George's Community College.
Dope.
And at Bishop McNamara High School in Forestville, because I am a true believer of giving back. Mm. Somebody did it for me. The people like Stuart Scott and James Brown, they were my mentors, and they always said to me, don't ever get too big in this business that you do not give back. Mm. And I thank both of those individuals, and Brian Burwell, the late Brian Burwell, and David Aldridge, and mentors that I've had that I really, really trust have given me a good background. And I always said to myself, whatever platform that I have, I appreciate so much what was read about me at the beginning. But if I don't give back, then my existence and my career is in vain, because at some point it has to be about other people, not about yourself. Mm. And so I'm teaching now. I'm teaching broadcast journalism. I'm just giving back. I'm just giving back because the industry has given so much to me that I cannot keep living without giving back to the industry. So that's what I'm doing right now. And I appreciate you guys for having me on, and I wish you a lot of success with your program, and our friend Lake Lewis and Sports Journey, what he's doing is a real good friend of mine, and just so many people of color doing great things. It just makes me proud. We're passing the baton on to you guys and hoping that you all take it and run with it and make it even greater than we did. So I'm wishing you all the much success, and I would love to come back on anytime you all need me.
That's a guarantee, Lou. That's a guarantee. And I want for the listeners out there, Lou is dope, man, especially at Washington football games at the press row, a part of All Black Media. Lou is hilarious. He's modest now, but he is so he's hilarious.
I try to keep life light, you know what I'm saying?
You and Don, I swear, you two have me cracking up.
Yeah.
Well, Lou, thanks again. We appreciate you. We're definitely gonna have you back on. That's a guarantee.
No, I appreciate you all. You all have a nice night, and again, best wishes to you all, and I'm cheering you all from the sidelines for your success.
Thanks, Lou. Appreciate it.
Thank you, brother.
Appreciate it, Lou.
Man, appreciate that.
All right.
Oh man, that was dope, man. And that was Lou Holder. Also, check him out on Twitter at Holder Sports. Lou was a dope individual, very great guy. We're gonna actually prorate our podcast. We're going to talk about, instead of talking about my man Sterling Sharp, we're going to talk about Bradley Beal. Is Bradley Beal the best two guard in basketball? We'll discuss that after the break. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
Get on your job, tell them. Haters, get on your job. Motivation. Get on your job, tell them. Haters, get on your job. Motivation. Haters better get on your job. Tell them. Haters get on your job. Motivation. Suck, suck, get on your job. If you hatin', get on your job. You can look me in my eyes, see I'm ready for whatever. Anything don't kill me, make me better. I ain't dead. You can take the fame and the cheddar and the game and the deal. I'm still a go.
You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Will T, Wole, and Ray Jeezy, part of Sports Journey, sportsjourney.com. Bradley Beal led all Eastern Conference shooting guards in votes and is starting in the NBA All-Star game. He also is the leading scorer in the NBA at the moment. Is Bradley Beal the best two guard in basketball? And if not, where do you rank him? I'll start with Ray.
All right. I appreciate it because let's not get it twisted. Will T, just to inform you, this argument is not really, or this discussion is not just about Bradley Beal. It's also about Zach LaVine. We've been having this side discussion, including Armand Lee. Shout out to him on the quarterly report. Dope show, of course. And Zach LaVine has emerged this season. He's now been named an All-Star.
Definitely.
The Chicago Bulls are competitive. Currently, the Chicago Bulls sit in the eighth and final playoff spot in the Eastern Conference at 14-16. The Wizards, of course, just recently emerged, 11-17. Bradley Beal averaging 32 a game. Zach LaVine averaging 28. Who's better right now? If you ask many around the league, including Wole and myself, it's a really hard question to answer because Bradley Beal has just been just a dynamic scorer, but many will argue that that's all he's been. And if you're not bringing a more complete game, including assists, rebounds, defense, you can't be considered the best two guard. So for that reason, I'm not going to go with him or LaVine. I think Jaylen Brown is emerging to be that guy in the Eastern Conference and NBA for that matter.
Mm-hmm. Will T?
Ray, you took my answer.
Jaylen Brown.
Oh, sorry. It's all good. For most of the reasons that Ray stated, I don't believe that Bradley Beal is the best two guard in the NBA. For me, if we're talking about elite players in this league, the best players in this league are transformative players who lead their team to victory. Now, Washington has started to, there's an uptick. They won a couple games. You know, they pulled out a game last night against a depleted Lakers team. But to focus on Bradley Beal, you know, he's scoring at an amazing rate, 32, I believe it's 32 points a game, almost shooting 40% from three and 40% from within the three-point line. But the elite players, they make their teammates better. That's what Jaylen Brown's doing. And also, that's what Donovan Mitchell was doing. I consider those two guys better two guards at this point, more complete players than Bradley Beal.
Oh yeah, I like that one. I do like Donovan Mitchell. That's a good one. Mm-hmm. I think all the flack he was getting from, you know, Shaq and Barkley in that TNT interview, but and he's growing on me, you know. At the end of the day, like, he's a guy.
Don't get me started on Shaq.
But you know what? When that comment happened, when he said that comment, I agreed with Shaq. I'm not gonna say I did. I agreed with him, but you know, it's getting to a point now. But go ahead, Will.
Okay. Okay, that's fine. Shaq can state that, but come on, man. Look at yourself at the mirror. Look what you did with your career, right? Shaquille O'Neal, the most dominant physical player in the last 25 years in the NBA, was not able to elevate his team to that point without help from another great player.
Of course.
Right? For him to say that, you know, Donovan Mitchell isn't doing enough, right?
Yeah.
Look at yourself in the mirror.
No, I get your point.
That statement lacks total self-reflection.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, every star needs help. I mean, that's a whole different. Every star needs help. So I think every superstar needs help. But it gets to a point where you want to have, you know, when you compare it to certain other players, certain superstars, because to the point of the argument in terms of what Barkley and Shaq were talking about, they're only about 4 to 5 real superstars in basketball. You know what I mean? It's like 4 to 5 true superstars, true players that will take your team to the next level. You get that player, they take you to the next level. So it goes back to the Bradley Beal argument that, you know, for a guy that's averaging 32 points a game, leads the league in scoring, and it actually, truth be told, you look at it as in terms of efficiency, shooting the ball, I believe at like 47% from the field, which isn't bad for a two guard in today's basketball.
No, it's great. In today's basketball, that's about on par.
That's about on par. You know what I mean? But
because no one plays defense.
Yeah, but when you're looking at, so we mean Zach LaVine. Jaylen Brown is a dude that I like. Jaylen Brown because over most of the other two guards, period, is because which Ray has talked about and you mentioned, and even as good as Donovan Mitchell has been, and he's been great, and he's been playing at the superstar level. But when you look at somebody like Jaylen Brown, who plays offense and defense, and at a high level on both sides of the court, and it's a guy that we've seen that since he was a rookie, how he wasn't scared of the moment. And before his offensive game wasn't as in the beginning, his defensive game was better than his offensive game, and he still was a talented offensive player. But now he's risen his offensive level close to his defensive level, and to me, he's one of the best two-way basketball players in the league. Period. You know, and he gets overlooked because Jason Tatum is on his team. And a lot of people look at him and like, okay, Jason Tatum, he's the guy because his offense is so polished and so clean. But when you look at the efficiency of Jaylen Brown, especially when Jason Tatum was out, he's a guy that I felt like a lot of people weren't talking about enough, or weren't really talking about, a dude that, truth be told, should get MVP consideration at the way he was playing at that particular point in time. So he's a guy that, to me, can rival a Bradley Beal when we're talking about two guards. Zach LaVine. And we talked about, if we really want to be factual, and Ray mentioned Armand's podcast, and I listened to it, and he made a lot of points that I totally agree with and I'm on board with, is that we don't really talk about efficiency enough with scoring. Like, you can drop 30 points a game, but you may be shooting 43% or 45% from the field. When you look at what Zach LaVine is doing, he's shooting over 50% or more or better from the field, and shooting less with less shot attempts and usage, and the dude's averaging about 30, especially this stretch run he's in right now. And right now, arguably, he is the best two guard. You know what I mean? Like, what he's doing with the Chicago Bulls team that has been hindered with injuries, and now he is leading that team to compete for a postseason spot. Granted, it's in the Eastern Conference, but still, they're contending, they're competing. Dude deserves credit. And I'm gonna give Bill credit too, because I don't want to act like I'm gonna gloss over Bill. I watched that Lakers game, and I used to rag on Bill about closing games out and like he wasn't clutch. But if you watch that overtime, boy was closing. Like, he took it into, he went on superstar mode. He went on I'm gonna be a killer mode. And to me, that shows a sign of maturity and a dude that's, you know, is getting better. And the Wizards are playing better basketball, and Bill's part of that reason. So he's him, and you can add Westbrook into the mix, but
he, as the leader of the team, is helping his team win ball games now. So maybe through the stretch run, we can now say that maybe Bradley Beal is becoming a player that's a player that's really making his team better, regardless if it's just scoring the basketball.
I see you with the mic drop, huh?
I think that's the perfect way to end the show.
Okay.
How we ended this week.
I bet. That the mic just dropped. Okay, we can do. I'm good with that.
Yeah, mic drop.
All right, mic drop.
Your walk off. You drop the mic. You hit a grand slam in the bottom of the ninth.
Right, you know what? Then I'm gonna go ahead and read about some subscribe podcast crap. Then hey, subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, and Google Podcasts. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Also tweet us at Urban Sports Scene to hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. And make sure you check out Sports Journey at sportsjourney.com for all of your DMV sports content. I want to say thanks to Lou Holder for being a guest and holding down that segment for real. And actually, it was dope because it was organic and it was real conversation. We really appreciate it. Anything you all want to say before we close out?
Nope. I have one thing I want to say. As we come to the end of Black History Month, I just want to say I'm kind of disappointed in the public school system and the lack of attention that they provide our children with lessons in Black history. Mm-hmm. Let's all realize as a country that Black history isn't exclusive to African Americans. It's American history also.
Yes.
So we should embrace it.
True. True. And that's real talk. Ray?
I don't have anything to add.
That's what I'm talking about, man. No, so now, Ray, we're supposed to stay together. 1, 2, 3. And that's right. Real
now that's
talk.
That's real talk. Hashtag it. Go hashtag it.
Anyway, you've been listening to the Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
Yeah, dig.
Deuces.
Hey, Mega, lead us out, big homie. Everybody stay blessed and have a great night.